At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. This week, I thought I'd get to a topic that we haven't really gotten to discuss, club fitting. TruSpec is one of the big club fitting outfits here in the U.S., and we have their mobile fitting cart here, and Jordan Patrick is one of the fitters. He's helped me with my game, and I just think so many players could benefit from getting fit properly. I think a lot of players are scared to get fit. They think it's a con. They think it's going to be a waste of money. But I promise you, you make some serious, serious gains by getting club fit, by understanding what club fitting is all about. So let's get to it with Jordan Patrick. My guest today is Jordan Patrick. He works for TruSpec. They do club fitting. Jordan, how many locations do you guys have across the United States?
So we have currently 24 locations and 4 mobile units there.
And you're part, part of the mobile team. It's been really cool to have you guys here on site here at the Learning Center at the Floridian. Club fitting is something that I think a lot of golfers get scared of. I think a lot of people think that there's some sort of kind of voodoo, kind of magic that club fitters are trying to sell you golf equipment, right? And then there's also golfers that think, listen, I'm not good enough to take a club fitting. But as you and I both know, I think every golfer, if you can get the golf ball airborne, if you're playing golf, if you're just not a beginner who's just hitting golf balls on a driving range, but if you're venturing out on the golf course, club fitting is vital for you to get done for your game. I see it at the highest level on tour all the time, right? The difference between changing a shaft, changing lofts, changing a set makeup. But for the average regular golfer that's listening, what do you feel is the single most important thing that club fitting can do for a player?
So club fitting, it's not always going to be, hey, we're going to gain as much distance as we can. Everyone wants to gain distance, but you know, just limiting it to one miss is huge. It can take your scores down, but making it just that way they're all the same throughout the set too. And that way you're not getting hand-me-downs. But that allows you to kind of have consistency throughout the set, whether you're tour, first time playing, you can all make a difference.
I think a lot of golfers, when they start out, they're getting golf equipment from parents, fathers, friends, other people, and they're getting golf clubs that they have. I mean, it's a little bit like, going to a pharmacy and saying that you've got an illness, and they give you a pill box and you don't actually know what's in it, and you're just going to take it, and you're surprised that you're not feeling any better.
Definitely. Yeah. So a lot of people, they'll get a set of clubs, and where they'll have a couple clubs that actually do the same thing. So, you know, getting something truly fit for you is huge.
When we look at, so let's go through the bag. I mean, obviously I think most people are getting club fit, I would say, for drivers more so than they are for putters, wedges, or irons. Drivers seem to be, in my experience, the thing that people are changing the most. People aren't, I don't see golfers en masse changing their irons on a regular basis, but putters and drivers seem to be the quick interchangeable. They also seem to be the thing that all the manufacturers seem to come out with yearly on a regular basis. So every year, all of the manufacturers that everybody uses, they're all coming out with new drivers. They're all coming out with new equipment. So let's start with drivers and work our way down to irons and then wedges and putters. From a driver standpoint, Jordan, I know it's hard to generalize, but you do this almost, 300 days a year. What do you see from a fit standpoint that would be a generalization, but that somebody that's listening can learn from? What do you see across the board that players are coming in and you're changing their driver because of what?
So most players think that just by going down in loft, they're going to hit it further. But with that decrease in loft and most of the loft sleeves across the manufacturers, going down in loft, we're also opening the face. So they just take that wrench, they crank it down, they'll be like, hey, I'm going to hit it further.
So if you've got a 10 and a half degree driver, all the drivers now are adjustable. They've all got different settings to where you can adjust what the loft is, right? So you've got the 10.5, you're hitting that kind of high, weak spinning shot. You think, or someone that's got an 8 degree driver or a 9 degree driver says, hey, I've got a 9 degree, and they hit it further, just turn the loft down. So how does turning the loft down make the face go more open?
So by going down in loft, the face is open about 1-to-1 ratio. So for every degree of loft we take off, the face is opening for that much.
So if you're a slicer of the golf ball and you're losing distance, which I think most people that are listening to this podcast, I think if everybody that's listening raise their hands, the majority of people, their miss is probably going to be some sort of miss to the right. I mean, that's the thing that I see giving golf lessons across the board over the course of a year with regular golfers, even higher, even lower handicap golfers, the miss tends to be to the right. Do you see that as well with the driver?
Yeah, definitely more people right than left.
That high spinny right one. So if that's your miss, you then knock the loft down to 8 degrees because you're losing distance. So now the face is going to come in more open. And if you're already swinging left and the path is already open, the face is already open,
it's even
that's
worse.
The death move.
Uh-huh.
So how does the average golfer that's losing distance, that's slicing the golf ball to the right, what are some of the fixes that you as a club fitter can do from an equipment standpoint?
So we can go to something that is definitely lighter than what they're playing, because most average golfers, they play something that's too heavy and too stiff. So by getting something that is going to be lighter, softer, it'll allow them to close the face and make a more natural move than having to work with something that's just not for them. But now all the heads are adjustable, so you have tons of flexibility to make them more upright, draw biased, move the center of gravity back, make them hit it higher, but not actually spin it. Because that's the highest misconception, is that a lot of golfers think just because I hit it high, it's going to spin. But you can still hit it high and not have it spin a ton, and then it's not affected by the wind.
Right. So give me a life hack for the 15 handicapper that's spinning it a lot, missing it to the right, like you said. And again, I see this in golf lessons all the time, right? You across the board, I think the average golfer has equipment that they fundamentally just don't, they can't use. It's a little bit, I always look at club fitting and looking at getting a set of golf course or get a golf clubs like cars, like race cars, right? Racing cars are designed, a Formula One race car is designed to be driven at the speed that Max Verstappen drives it. If I try and do that, I don't know how to drive, so I'm going to crash the car. Golf equipment, I see, is very similar. I see a lot of golfers massively influenced by television. I see them massively influenced, Jordan, by television and by what they hear on TV. I see that from a distance standpoint. I know you guys see that as well. Talk to me about the misconception in how far players hit their drivers. And what I'm always saying to drivers, and I think you'd agree with this, we need to give you usable distance. Distance, it doesn't matter if you hit the golf ball a long way and it's going offline. We need you to hit. So what's a life hack for the slicer? Where do the weights need to be in the head? All the heads now have interchangeable weights. So you're high, you're hitting it to the right, it's spinning a lot, and you're losing distance. So from a head makeup, what can players that are listening say, okay, what can I do with the head of the driver if I'm slicing the golf ball? Where do I put the weights?
Yep. So that for that player that's going to slice it, the first setting would be to get to an upright setting. So definitely don't want to go down in loft or all those things. But since all the drivers in that middle category of, you know, your core models are going to have that adjustable weight, move that weight into the heel, let that toe close quicker for a right-handed golfer. And then
So a heavier weight in the heel, a lighter weight out on the toe is going to help get that club to feel like it's closing.
Yes.
Okay. And when we're looking at weights at the back of drivers on the head, that's affecting the CG of where that is. Talk to us. We hear that a lot. I think a lot of people get confused and don't want to go to club fitting because they hear terms of things with golf clubs that they don't necessarily understand. So when we're talking about CG, that's the center of gravity in the head of the driver. How does that affect what the ball is doing?
So that's going to affect what the ball does, because so if we have the center of gravity further back in the head, it is going to be more forgiving. It's going to launch higher. But then if you just take that same weight and move it to the front, you are generally going to get more ball speed and lower spin for those players. Just with the same head setup in the neutral setting, all those things, just flipping that can change your spin by, you know, anywhere from 400 to 600 RPMs and add and forgive forgiveness.
The holy grail in driver fitting, obviously, is high launch, low spin. I mean, that's DJ. Last week, we were looking at spin numbers. He's got a new driver in the bag this year. We know he plays his best when he's long. I mean, and here's the other thing. I don't think the average golfer listening realizes how much loft some of the best players in the world have in their driver. I mean, DJ is over, I think he's probably right now close to 11 degrees of loft, which the average golfer would think that DJ would be playing with something that's kind of around the 8 to 9 range. So when you've got that driver and you're trying to figure it out, the CG of where that is, more forgiving to the back. So if it has weights where you can put a weight at the front and a weight at the back, you're going to want to have the weight, or what we would call back weight, that driver, right? And then DJ, when he plays his best, spins it kind of in that 1800 to 2000 range, right? And he's launching it at 10 or 11. That is very optimal if you have his type of speed. What we see a lot of the average golfer do is they're the opposite with the driver. They have high launch or low launch and massively high spin. So if we can reverse that, one of the easy ways, what I hear you saying is, listen, get that weight more in the heel so the toe's going to close, and then get that weight as far back as possible. Get the heaviest weight back.
Yep, definitely at lower speeds, heaviest weight back, and don't be afraid to use the loft, because quite honestly, the more loft we're adding, the easier it is going to be to close that face.
Which is the opposite, I think, of what a lot of the people listening feel like. They feel like the way they're going to get that face closed is to de-loft the driver, and that's going to shut it down. But as soon as they de-loft it at address, it's going to set up open, and then it's going to come in more that way. Talk to me, Jordan, about where players are hitting it on the face with the driver. Again, generalizations, but if you had to generalize, do you guys see more heel strikes with the average handicap golfer, or do we see more toe strikes?
So I would say that it's definitely more heel strikes, but the one that goes, I mean, better for more people to know would be that high and low is more effective than heel and toe. So a lot of players strike it very, very low on the face, which is going to be the spinniest driver. They all just want to tee it lower, and they figure when they tee it lower, they're going to hit it lower. but really they're hitting it low on the face, so it's spinning more, and then it's going to be higher. So tee it higher, spin it less, and get more distance.
And again, I when we're watching players, and I'm watching and giving golf lessons to the average golfer, one of the things, especially with the driver, I'm constantly telling them, tee the golf ball higher, tee the golf ball higher, which is so, again, golf is counterintuitive. Everybody that I'm telling to tee the golf ball higher already has the idiot marks on top of the golf ball. They've already got marks on the top of their driver anyway. So the disconnect in their brain is like, no, 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 I'm already slicing it. I'm already hitting it high. It's already going short. I've already got a bunch of ball marks kind of on the top crown of my driver. Now you want me to get more loft, tee it higher. That just doesn't sound logical. Why does that work?
So that works just because we are spinning it less, and it's going to force them to hit up on it a little more. And a lot of golfers, they just don't, they don't want to change their swing. They just want to change into a new product, but hitting up on it is going to be the easiest way for them to maximize their distance. Because there comes a point of return where you can only put so much in and get so much out. We're not just magically going to gain 25 yards by you swinging the same swing and getting a new head.
I think that's another big misconception in driver fitting. Everyone is looking for the silver bullet. I mean, the magic bullet, right? Everyone's looking. Marina Alex, who I've had on the pod, Marina plays on the LPGA Tour. Marina's, you know, under 5 foot five. She doesn't have a ton of speed. The holy grail for her is getting more distance. But there aren't unicorns out there. And I think a lot of golfers think that their equipment is going to be this unicorn, to where they're going to get a new driver and they're going to hit it 30 yards further. Let's say you're hitting your driver and you're spinning it at, you know, you're spinning it in kind of the mid 3,000s to 4,000s. You're launching it low. It's curving to the right. And it's carrying, you know, 215 to 220 in the air. How, by all of the things that you've talked about, if we knock the spin off, so if the spin goes from 3,800 with a driver to 3,200, what does that mean in distance?
So that's going to, you might not necessarily notice it in the air, but once it hits the ground, then it's going to start running. But adding that spin, keeping it more straight, then it's going to be more consistent on the golf course. And that's what a lot of players don't realize, is that, hey, hitting, you know, 8 fairways out of 12 instead of 4 is huge.
Yeah. And the other thing that, if you look at the best drivers of the golf ball in the world, and listen, I'm unbelievably lucky to work with two of them in Brooks and DJ. One of the things that they do when they're drive, when they hit their drivers, it's, I always think of it like an airplane. The airplane is taking off. It gets up to altitude and then it doesn't keep climbing. The average golfer has that driver swing to where the ball is getting up in the air and then it's continuing to rise up. That's the other thing then, when we look at trying to change it. If we can change the land angle, the angle of descent, to where the ball isn't coming down like a lob wedge, to where it's getting out and it's coming down flatter, you're going to get more roll. That's one of the things when I watch you do driver fittings, I always hear you say, listen, that's going to roll. That ball is now going to roll when it hits the ground. Because so many people with their drivers, they spin it so much and they hit it so high, it comes down basically soft, like it would be on a really, really soft green, and has no roll. And again, I've heard you say, no, we can get you some more distance on the ground. What does that mean?
So, you know, flattening that descent angle out, it doesn't matter where you play, the ball is going to carry what it carries, but allowing it to then roll out once it's on the ground versus spinning more to the right. So, you know, lowering that CG, moving it more towards the forward, it might flatten the ball flight out a little bit, but spin is going to be your biggest factor. And a lot of people just don't realize that their height is not from them hitting it high, but they're actually spinning it high. So then it's now we're losing on both ends.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For the regular average golfer, non-competitive golfer, in that kind of 10 to 20 handicap range, give us some numbers from a launch standpoint and from a spin standpoint that everyone listening could say, okay, let me see if I can get on a launch monitor, go get and see what would you like to see? What would be optimal playability wise for you launch and spin wise?
So playability wise, launching from, you know, anywhere from 12 to 16 degrees is plenty high. And then the lowest spin we can have, the better. So anywhere from 2200 to 2600 is very playable for the average golfer, not swinging it, you know, much higher than 100 miles per hour. A lot of people just don't realize that they are being so left out on distance, but really what they're putting in, they can't get much more out of it. So tightening up that forgiveness, launching it high, hitting fairways is huge.
We've talked about the club head. More so than the club head, the biggest miss that I see with people with their drivers is the shaft. They are playing shafts that, you mentioned it, that are too stiff and they're too heavy. Why is that?
You know, it's like the old one. Like, everyone just has those clubs that they've played forever, and times have changed. Everything's becoming so much more light and soft now versus heavy and stiff. So you might as well play something light and swing it faster, hit the center of the face more. And tolerances are just becoming so high from shaft manufacturers.
I'll give you, I haven't told you the story, and I'm sure Brooks wouldn't mind me telling you this. He played terrible on Saturday at LIV, and I watched him, and he was missing fairways. The first four or five holes, he's missing fairways by 40 yards.
Can't do that there either.
Can't do that there, right. So he basically just hit three wood the rest of the round. So the driver that he was using the day before cracked, broke. So he put a new driver in. You're not going to believe this. For some reason, he had a 60 gram shaft in his bag, and his gamer shaft is a 70 gram shaft. He just put the other head. So he took the head, the broken head off, put it on, and he didn't even think, and he just grabbed the 60. So halfway through the round, he realizes he's using a 60 gram shaft versus a 70 gram shaft. Now, for everybody that's listening, that's basically like choosing a car that's got, you're in a race and they tell you the car has got 300 horsepower, and all of a sudden you get in and it has 200. At his speed, that 10 gram difference is enormous, because now the driver becomes much more unstable at the speed he's swinging that.
For sure. At his speed, that's a huge change.
I mean, we got done and the three of us sat there and we went, I think that's a first for us. And it's not one that you would think, because you're just not thinking, right? And it's out of all the things that driver, I mean, Ricky Elliott always is counting how many clubs he's got in the bag, Brooks' caddy. He, oh, and there was one time that Brooks was this is probably 8 years ago. Brooks was testing a driver and they put it on and they didn't click it all in place. So he hit it and it kind of moved. So now it's mandatory for Ricky before every single round, all the woods, he's going to go through with the wrench and Brooks makes him do it. He says, hey, check all the woods. So checking the shaft is just not something you're not going to think that you're going to have a different shaft in, but it had such a major effect on it. So my point behind that is if 10 grams of weight affects the best player in the world, if you're playing with something that's too stiff and too heavy, again, if you're a slicer of the golf ball, the golf club, the club head has no chance to catch up and close itself without you having to do something with your hands.
For sure. I mean, not enough people ever think about like letting the club close.
Technology now, the shaft technology in the last, I think in the last 5 years, the way that, you know, the AutoFlex shaft, some of these really, really ultra light shafts that have some kick at the bottom. When we talk about flex points and kick points, we're always hearing that there are shafts that are kind of low spin shafts, and then there are shafts that are going to have a little bit more high spin. What does that mean in layman's term for the average golfer? If somebody says, hey, that's a low spinning shaft or that's a high spinning shaft, what does that mean?
So basically what that means is a shaft is broken down into three categories. So like the tip, the middle, and then the butt. So where that is flexing for that particular shaft is going to determine more or less on paper what that's going to be, higher launch, lowing spin, all those things. So generally a stiffer tip is going to be lower spinning than something with a softer tip. But the biggest thing that plays into that too is for the where you need to flex is going to be how hard you load the golf club. So somebody that loads it super hard is not generally going to have super success with a softer butted shaft. They're going to lose awareness of where that club head is.
The other thing that I don't think people listening with shaft technology realize, some of the best long drivers in the world are not using stiff shafts. I mean, Kyle Berkshire's shaft isn't what you would think it would be. Bryson has talked a lot about that. Bryson has said, listen, you know, when I was doing long drive, I was trying to get as whippy shafts as I could get. You wouldn't think that that would be the case because you would think at the speed he's trying to hit the golf ball, he's going to need as much stability at the bottom. But the long drive guys, they're trying to get as much load and they put a lot of force on the handle. So they need the golf club to be a little bit more flexible and have that kick at the bottom.
Definitely. They're looking for that rubber band effect at the bottom.
Which is what?
Just letting that club head pass the hands at impact. And if the tip is too stiff, that thing is never going to pass.
When we hear another term that I hear a lot of people that is out there is, are we going to tip the tour? They're always talking about if a player on tour is going to get a driver shaft made, the builder is the first thing he's going to say is, are we tipping this or are we not? What does tipping the shaft mean from a driver standpoint? And what is it? What effect does it have?
So tipping the driver shaft is just basically going to be when they install it, they're going to cut extra off the tip. So basically when a manufacturer sells us a shaft, they say, hey, you want to cut half an inch off the tip. And then from there, we're adding stiffness to that tip section. And then the rest is cut from the butt.
So the more you cut off the tip at the bottom, the stiffer
it's going to get.
Okay.
And then we can cut off the butt just for the length, but it's not really changing the profile of the shaft.
So where the grip is, if we take any length, so let's say someone's got a 45 degree driver and they want to get a little bit more control, go to 43, you could cut off the top and it's not really going to change the shaft profile at the bottom or in the middle on how it works.
Correct. It's just going to change that length, but tipping it will change how that shaft affects.
So obviously all of the bombers, guys like Gary Woodland, all the guys with big speed, they want it tipped.
They want to tip it.
So they need it stiff at the bottom.
Yep. So they'll tip anywhere from an inch to 2 inches on most of those guys' drivers.
That's crazy.
But a lot of the amateurs are like, hey, you know, so-and-so's tipping it. Well, really, you're swinging 15 miles per hour slower than he is. You don't need that shaft to be any stiffer than it is.
So you helped me get a new driver, and we worked on the shaft. And one of the shafts you put me in, That new Vanquish from
Mitsubishi
Chemical. Okay. That type of shaft, I think everybody's building something like that in that range now. That type of shaft is doing what?
So it's allowing the tip section to be softer than the rest of the shaft, allowing players that do early extend, all of those things, get the club head to come through the impact zone.
Because that was something that, in talking to Dave Phillips, who I've had on the podcast before from the Titleist Performance, they were looking at, you know, when that new Vanquish came out, they were, you know, Jimmy Walker was crushing that thing.
He was playing the auto flex.
Yeah, he was playing the auto flex, and he was crushing that. He's got a lot of early extension, but the way that club loads and the way it comes into the ball, Dave was saying it was almost like it was an anti-thrust fixer.
Mm-hmm.
You could still thrust, but if you've got a shaft at the bottom, thrust meaning when we're setting up to the golf ball, if you think about where your lower body is on the downswing, if the pelvis is moving closer to the ball, you're extending, then the upper body has to go back. So there are guys that do that. Jimmy Walker is one of them. So a little bit more kick at the bottom, again, helps square the club face up at the bottom without you feeling as the player like you have to do it so much with your hands.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily feel soft in any means, but allowing that to close is huge for a lot of golfers to gain distance and ball speed and at the end of the day, spin it less.
And I think since the AutoFlex came out, it was, you know, AutoFlex Korean, right?
Yep, hidden Korean technology.
You know, pink shaft, you know, 12, and what's it like? You're gonna get a new mortgage for your house to get one of these shafts, right? But what I think the market and all the manufacturers have gone, okay, let's take that and let's put a version of that in our lineup. So I think all the shaft manufacturers are making something that's gonna have a little bit more kick at the bottom so that if you are someone that needs distance or you are someone that needs that face to close, that would be a what if you're that player, right? What model of shafts should be players be looking at if they're slicing it, if they want a little bit of distance and they want that bottom part of that shaft at the bottom to square up? Give me some names that shafts that people could look at.
Yeah, so it's definitely different for any kind of speed, but in that average golfer range, you could go AutoFlex, Mitsubishi Vanquish, like a C6 Red from Mitsubishi Chemical. There's a lot of good options. I mean, each line has a good option. And generally, when you look at a shaft wall, the ones that are colored in red are generally going to mean that throughout the whole shaft manufacturing thing. So anything that's red, it's generally going to be a little softer. That tip's going to close, all those things.
Obviously, all the tour players, Brooks plays the black.
The blacks.
70X. I mean, that's as stiff as, I mean.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Brooks has got a really stiff driver. DJ's used that speeder forever, right? I mean, that's just, there are players that play with the same shaft all the time, and then there are players that kind of move around.
Hmm.
I think in DJ's case, it's a comfort thing more than anything else, right? I think and Brooks is the same, right? I mean, you could try and get him out of the driver shaft that he was working with, right? Brooks will mess around with lofts and heads and stuff like that. But the one thing that he will not budge on is the shaft. And anytime any of the manufacturers that he's been with have talked to him about, hey, you know, maybe we try a little bit different shaft and stuff. And he always says the same thing. The shaft in my driver has won me 5 majors. I'm not changing it. Okay, but for the average golfer, it's almost the opposite. Don't be afraid to go try. So what questions from a driver fitting, for everyone listening, if they are going to get fit, what questions should they be asking you guys as the fitters? So I think that's something that's massively important. I've said that before. I gave a pod, I think last year, on how to take a golf lesson. As the player, what you should be asking and looking for from the instructor. So for everyone listening, if they are going to get club fit, what are the questions they need to be asking the club fitter?
So one big question is, hey, what is actually achievable for what I'm putting in? Is a lot of people want to get that super extra distance, But really, that speed that they're at, they're maxing it out. So at that point, we need to get forgiveness and be realistic that, hey, I might not gain all the yards, but hitting something more in the middle consistently across the course of the round is huge. Another one is, hey, what is a good spin rate for my speed range? And then another thing that a lot of people don't think about is set makeup across the board. Is like, just because, hey, going to a 3-wood, hey, we're going to hit it further, we might not, just because the 5-wood launching higher, spinning higher.
Yeah, so that's the next part of this. So, and I think the most forgotten part of club fitting are from where the irons end and the driver begins. So whatever your last iron in your bag is, and then where you are in your driver, what is in between there? I think for everyone listening that is looking to improve their scores, hybrids, 5-woods, 3-woods, to me, that's a lot of low-hanging fruit, because I see a lot of players that their putters are good, the wedges, the irons, the driver, but what they've kind of got in between is just garbage, and it's not helping them. So again, average golfer, loft-wise, and the modern 3-woods, you know this, the longer the hitter, the harder it is to find a 3-wood, because the 3-woods today go way too far, which you would think would be great, but like DJ says, they give him sometimes 3-woods, and he's like, that goes as far as my driver. I have no possible way to use that, because if I do try and hit it into a par 5, I can't hold the green. Mm-hmm. So from a 3-wood standpoint, and again, DJ's got a shit ton of loft on his 3-wood, but I see 15, 20 handicappers have 13-degree 3-woods, and I'm like, what are you going to do with this? You're certainly not going to get it in the air. So from a 3-wood standpoint, where do you think most people have two, they don't have enough loft in the 3-wood?
They don't have enough loft. And a lot of people turn those 3-woods down too, opening the face. I mean, you got to be able to launch it. So, I mean, a lot of the manufacturers this year did make 3HLs, which is going to be like a 16 and a half degree 3-wood versus a 15. But definitely a lot of amateur golfers come in with something that's 12, 13 degrees. And I'm like, that's really your driver.
So with the 3-wood, with the ball now being on the ground, not on the tee. So obviously, I think what everybody needs to realize is there are two swings in golf, right? There is the driver swing and there is the iron swing. The iron swing, the ball is on the ground. You need to have an angle of attack to where the angle of attack is down. You're hitting down on the golf ball. Hitting down on it is going to get it up. When we hit an iron or a driver, we put it on a tee. If we hit down on that,
it's still going to go up.
It's still going to go up, but it's going to spin a lot. So with the driver, you're trying to hit up on it. And unfortunately, and I know you see this, I think I see over a year, I see more golfers have a driver swing with their irons. They don't take divots. They don't get the golf ball in the air. And then they have an iron swing with their driver to where they're skying it. They're hitting it off the top of the driver. With the driver, you're trying to swing up. With the iron, you're trying to swing down. But 3-woods, Jordan, are so hard for the average golfer to hit, because I think they don't realize the golf ball's on the ground. If you try and swing up on it, it's not on a tee like the driver. Most people would be surprised that some of the best players in the world, and you know this, with the 3-wood, they take a little bit of a divot because they are hitting down on it. So if you don't have enough loft on your 3-wood, and then you're trying to hit up on it, and it's not on a tee, that is a recipe for topspin forehands that basically barely get over the net. Mm-hmm. So higher loft in the 3-wood.
Don't be afraid to play a 7 either. I mean, if you're going to go up in your 3, then having a 3, 5, and 7, there can be some overlap there. So don't be afraid to skip one.
Dustin Johnson currently has a 7-wood and a 9-wood in his bag.
Yep.
Why? Because the irons that are replacing that, he hits them so flat that he can't hold the green. So the 9-wood and the 7-wood allows him to come into greens softer and not have just low kind of head height bullets. Iron replacements, handicap ranges to get, I mean, I don't have the longest iron I have in my bag is a 6-iron, right? Because I've tested, you and I have gone through this. You're like, dude, you hit this hybrid way more consistent than you hit the 5 hybrid way more consistent than you hit the iron. And you've told me with the limited amount you have to practice and as little as you play, you need as much help as possible. So I have a 5-iron hybrid. I have a 4-iron. Talk to me about hybrids. What handicap range would you say for a player? Hey, bro, you need to take the ego out of this equation and we need to start to put more head covers in the bag for you.
For sure. So that's a fine line for that breaking point of a lot of players is, hey, is it a 5-iron? Is it a 6-iron where our descent angle starts to become below 40 degrees? And that's the biggest deciding factor is once that gets flat, you're not going to hold it on a green. So you might as well just take some loft, get a hybrid, center gravity's lower. It's going to be better out of the rough.
More forgiving.
Hit it higher, land it softer.
Shaft-wise, when we start going into hybrids, what do players need to be looking at with regards to what they're playing, obviously, in their driver, their other woods, and then what they're playing in their irons?
So I would say driver and fairway woods are going to be pretty consistent between those two. Generally, we're going to go up in weight in our fairway woods, and then we're also going to go up in weight in our hybrids. But our hybrids are going to be more similar to our iron shafts throughout the bag, just because that is playing like a 3 or a 4-iron for most players.
And again, everyone that listens, if you are hitting a hybrid, take a divot. It's basic. If you've got a hybrid in your bag, you need to play it like it's an iron. The same type philosophy. You don't need that. If you've got a hybrid in your bag, you do not need that golf ball way up in your stance like you would with your 3-wood or your driver. It needs to be very similar to where it would be for an iron so that you can hit down on it.
100%.
Iron technology.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Game improvement irons. It's so funny. There was, I can't remember the fitter's name, but he was a longtime fitter out at a TPI, and they had the Chinese national team in, right? The entire China and the best kid on the Chinese national team. So they're fitting him for irons and they're going through an interpreter, right? Because the kid doesn't speak English. Have you heard this story? So they're going through an interpreter and this kid wants the Adam Scott Titleist blades, right? He wants something that looks like it's from 1971, right? Because he's the best player, right? And they're trying to fit him into something that's got a little bit more of kind of like a cavity back thing like that. And he's going back and forth and they're like, this is the one. And it's through the interpreter back to him and the kid's getting more and more. So finally the fitter says to the interpreter, he's going to hit the golf ball better. What is the problem? And the kid in perfect English says, too much offset and the top line's too long. And the fitter's like, now you speak English because I'm trying to get you into something that's going to be a little bit more forgiving. So my point around that story is I think everybody wants to play a blade. They want something that doesn't have a lot of offset, that doesn't look clunky and big. What are the advantages versus a forged blade type? You know, the type of iron that Rory uses, the type of iron that Scotty Scheffler, DJ, I mean, Brooks has gone to that Srixon cavity. Yep. But what is the advantage for everyone listening in game improvement irons? What does offset do?
So offset is going to allow the player to close the club face quicker. So now that irons have gotten so, so strong in loft compared to the stuff that those guys are playing,
that's the other thing that everybody listens. The best players in the world want the golf clubs that go the shortest. Mm-hmm. They don't need the distance. They're not looking for rockets. I mean, I've said to Ben Showman at Cobra, I've had him look at players and I said, hey, what if we get this iron in his head? And he's like, he'd hit that too far. He'd have no ability to control the distance. And I'm thinking, nobody thinks that that would be what a problem would be. So, but the average golfer needs that. They need the forgiveness. Offset means what?
Closure.
Right.
So the
but when a player is looking down at an iron, if the iron is offset, what are they going to see?
They're going to see where the leading edge meets the hosel. There's going to be a little bit of an angle there.
Right.
So it's...
all designed through impact. Again, same thing we're talking about with the weights in the driver to get that toe of the driver to close at the moment of contact.
Yep.
Gapping in irons. What should people be looking at from their 9-iron to their 5-iron in an ideal world? What would we like to see?
In an ideal world, we're going to see anywhere from 12 to 15 yards difference in gap between each iron. So if we're getting to where you're hitting your 7-iron and your 9-iron only 10 yards apart, we either got a loft problem or we just need to change it.
Shaft-wise for irons, again, what are we looking at for the regular golfer? What are some of the things that they want to stay away from an iron fit shaft-wise?
So a big thing now, like we said, that with all the clubs getting so, so strong, you still have to be able to launch it and spin it. So a lot of players are now able to play a lighter shaft that's higher launching, higher spinning, just because those heads are so strong. But you still have to be able to hit it high. So just because you're playing a stiff driver shaft doesn't mean you have to play a stiff iron shaft. Just the technology in that graphite, we can make it so light but so, so stable. You might as well take the club head speed when you can get it.
Yeah, and that's so when players are looking at the difference between steel and graphite in their irons, what are the advantages and what are the gains and the wins that going to graphite could do for a player?
So by going to graphite, we're able to move where that shaft is kicking a lot easier.
Same by thing we were talking about with the driver at the bottom with the tipping conversation.
Correct. So by moving that weight, the flexibility to move that weight with graphite, we can really, fine tune where it's distributed and where it's going to kick.
Cavity back irons versus more blade irons. Is there a cutoff for you on handicap range, or is it player dependent?
I would say it's definitely player dependent, but we are seeing more and more players get away from those traditional blades with all the new models that we have. They are beginning to look better in that player's cavity, player's distance.
I do think all the manufacturers, I've been with Cobra for a long time now. I love their equipment. I've said to the guys, the game improvement stuff is starting to look more and more like the player's irons. And 100%. I think that's huge, right?
Yeah.
Because as golfers, again, we're massively influenced by television. We want to be using the stuff that our heroes are using, but you've just got to be careful in going down that rabbit hole of having an iron in your bag that, and again, I always say that in golf lessons, we're trying to improve the miss. You guys in the club fitting world are trying to do the exact same thing. You're fitting for the miss, not the good shot. And that is a big thing that I think is important for everyone thinks they're going to go into a club fitting and go, okay, my good shots are going to get better. You guys are coming to it from the same angle that I'm coming to it from a golf lesson. No, we're going to try and make your bad shots better. We're not going to try and make your good shots better.
I would say that's the biggest thing that we see is a player will be in front of us and they won't accept their true miss. And you and I both look at it and we say, hey, you're going to hit it this way every time. But they're like, no, I really actually miss it to the left. But, you know, they're across it with a wide open face and it's slicing. So it's really just accepting what you do and making the most of it.
Parents that are listening for kids, golf equipment is expensive. I'm sure you get a lot of these. Those juniors that are they were playing golf clubs that were too long and too heavy. They got into kind of that U.S. kids range of golf clubs, but now they're looking to get out of that. I see so many young juniors playing with golf clubs that are just so damn long for them, Jordan. And because they're so damn long, they're too stiff. And then we start to see their bodies break down because of the golf clubs. When we're looking at players, parents especially, how do we future-proof the fit? So your son is trying to get out of kids' clubs and get into more real, regular golf equipment. But they're going to be growing. If they're going to keep going, they're probably going to need another set of golf clubs in the next 2 to maybe 3 years. How do we future-proof golf clubs for juniors so that they can give the parents a little leeway financially so that they don't have to go spend money for a new set of irons this year and then go, okay, my son grew. I got to go spend another boatload of money on another set of irons.
So one way would be just to, when they're moving that jump from the kids' clubs up to the new ones, make sure you get into a good head, because we can take that good head and then reshaft it.
Yeah.
So then you're not out, you know, the full set every time. And shafts, I mean, you're only going to need 6 or 8 of them. So moving across that. But once we're into a good head, shaft weight is huge for those kids. Like, don't put them in something too stiff, or don't cut dad's clubs down, because that's just changing the whole flex point of that shaft. And they're going to have to alter their swing at the end of the day to fix that.
Yeah. And I think it's something that I've seen more junior golfers get injured and be on not playing because they're playing with golf equipment that, one, they asked for Christmas, because Tiger, Rory, DJ, Jon Rahm, they use that. They don't make a lot of the stuff that the players on tour are using, junior sets like that. They don't make them. So then it's hard to get Jon Rahm's driver when you're 5'1" and you weigh 100-something pounds.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you over the course of the year how many junior golfers I see using 45-inch drivers.
And at the same point, they don't have enough speed to play most of those products because they're not creating the angles to make it spin and launch high enough. Right. So by going to that, it's... yeah, you're just setting yourself back more trying to play the products that they play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Lastly, wedge fitting. To me, that is, again, low-hanging fruit. There are a lot of players using wedges where the bounce configuration, Bob Vokey at Titleist was the first one to kind of come up with the term of digger versus slider. But digger being more back in your stance, hitting more down on it like a bump and run. Slider where the tour players are playing closely mown, Augusta-type runoffs into the grain. They're playing the ball more neutral, so they're sliding the club more on it. Bounce configuration, if you are going to be someone that's going to be more of a bump and run back in your stance, you need more bounce or less bounce.
So more bounce there. So what bounce is going to do is bounce is going to help you exit the turf. So for that player that is very steep, we need to get out of the turf.
Yeah. So that 12 to 14 range. And then if you are someone that's a little bit more of a competitive player, you're going to want, give me a wedge that is, from a bounce standpoint, that is, that can do both. That would be a good kind of starting point for a player that's not going to be a ton of bounce, but it's not going to be little. What range is that for you?
So that one would be anywhere from an 8 to a 10 bounce. And obviously each manufacturer has a different sole for that. Is so you can kind of have a little bit of bounce. A good example would be a Vokey like 08M. It's going to have that little bit of crescent sole where it's going to have bounce, but give you that versatility to open it up with the trailing edge relief and really make the best of both worlds there.
Yeah. And then gapping with wedges. I mean, again, I come in sometimes and I look, I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, who fits you for this setup? When we're looking at, so give me a range for the, so if you've got a lob wedge in your bag, lob wedges are going to be anywhere between 58 to 62. Does anybody that is a regular high handicap golfer need to be above 60 degrees in loft?
No, because that's going to only create a bigger gap between our pitching wedge and there.
Right. So then, so if you're 60, what are we looking at? Are you guys, because the four kind of degree increment. So if you're 60, the sand wedge should be 56. Then the gap wedge should be
generally 52 or 50.
Right.
Depending on where your pitching wedge is at. But a lot of these newer iron sets, you have to be careful because our pitching wedges are getting so strong, they're going to pack two more wedges in before you get to the gap wedge. So
like
really,
most of the new stuff in game improvement, pitching wedges degree-wise are at what now?
43, 44.
Yeah.
So from there to get to 60, we have to do it within a reasonable amount of wedges without having you have too many that you're like, hey, which one do I hit for this?
And then you have to start saying, okay, well, then I need to look at taking other clubs out of my bag. For the regular average golfer, how many wedges do you think would be beneficial for them to have in their bag? So starting at the pitching wedge and going from there.
So generally, I would go pitching wedge and then keep a gap wedge with your iron set. That's going to be anywhere from 48 to 52, and then follow up with maybe a 54, 58. So really four wedges across the board is going to be suffice for most
amateur
golfers.
And again, if you go 58, 50, you're keeping within that 4-degree range.
Yep, 4 to 5 degrees is great.
Turf interaction with wedges, I think that's one of the main areas that I see that the average golfer just struggles so much with is the way the wedge is interacting with the ground. They're already steep on it. They're already hitting down on it. Talk to me about how the sole configuration, because every manufacturer now across the board is going to have a different, not only different bounces, but different sole configurations.
Yeah, so grind options are going to give the different players versatility to really match that to their angles that they're creating through the turf. So whether you need trailing edge relief, heel and toe relief, or center gravity that's higher or lower, and they do make game improvement wedges too that a lot of people shy away from because they're like, oh, I'm not going to get as much spin. But going to that product that really fits how you deliver the golf club is going to make around the green so much easier.
So if you could change, if you only had one, so if a player came to you, and obviously this would never happen, but if a player came to you and you watched them hit golf balls and you said, okay, I'm watching them do everything that they're doing in their golf swing. I can change the irons. I can change the driver. I can change the fairway wood makeup, change the wedges. If they said, okay, you'd only change one. What would be your choice to say, hey, you want to knock some shots off your game? Let's change this.
I would say the irons are probably going to have the biggest effect there because most people are playing steel shafts, all those things. So really,
I actually thought you were going to say driver.
No, you'd be surprised. Like,
I am surprised by that, because my and here's the other thing. You're going to hit a hell of a lot more iron shots than you are going to hit.
100%. I mean, you figure almost every hole you're hitting at least one. And then par threes, even just to launch it high and spin it enough to, you know, have it land and not hit on the front and roll off the back. That's the most deceiving part, and how far your distances actually are for the players. A lot of players will say, hey, you know, I hit it 170 yards, and then we get up onto a par three and it's 171 to carry the water. That ball's not getting over the water. So really realizing carry versus total is huge for a lot of players.
Yeah, I know. I think that's really, really great stuff. If people wanted to come check out TruSpec, where do they go?
So I would go to our website. We are across the U.S. There's 5 locations here in Florida. So if you ever find yourself here, we're here.
TruSpec.com.
TruSpec.com.
If anybody wants to come get club fitted at the at my place here at the Floridian, Jordan is here. Jordan, thanks for talking to us. And listen, man, you've helped me a lot for as little as I play golf. One of the things that you did, we tested, going back to the reason why I use One Lengths, the Cobra One Lengths. I mean, we've gone through this. We've tested everything, that all the new stuff from Cobra. The One Lengths for me, they work for me.
There
based
is.
Off of what my body does, what my body... Listen, I'd love to use the irons that Ricky Fowler uses. I'd love the black. I mean, those ones that he came out with a couple... I mean, I get all the cool stuff, mm-hmm. right? I get it all, and it looks cool, and I want to use it so bad. But I've got the new Cobra One Length Dark Speeds, a lot of offset, and it helps me hit the golf ball more solid. And listen, my ego is very, very small. You know that. When I just want to hit it straighter.
It's straight.
And I just want to hit it further. So everyone listening, don't be afraid to get club fit. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you so much.
So some really good stuff there from Jordan Patrick from TruSpec. And I think we got into a lot of good talks about a lot of different subjects there. But get club fit. I mean, if you're using golf clubs that you've just bought, that you were given, someone gave you as a gift, they're not helping you. I mean, you have to get... I mean, it's like winning the lottery if someone buys you a set of golf clubs and just gives them to you that they're going to work for you. If you are serious about improving your game, if you are serious about getting better, if you're serious about lowering your handicap, one of the easiest ways to do that is to get equipment that is fitted for you and your game by someone like Jordan that has the experience and the knowledge and that can help you get the right equipment. It really, really does make a massive, massive difference. I want to thank everyone for listening. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.